Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Ted Lasso Season 3, Episode 4, Big Week.
Big Week. It's Big Week for Ted and the boys. And so this episode, and it is, there are some fun things in it. There are some less fun things in it. I think we're going to, it is definitely moving the plot forward in ways that we had been hoping for. So it's less setup and more actual progress. And I think that that's going to be fun to cover. But we have our usual caveats and disclaimers and all those things, which include, yes, there will be cursing. Of course there will be, because Roy Kent is part of the show. And we will be maybe predicting things for other episodes. And if you haven't watched Ted Lasso, there are going to be spoilers because, that's the show. But we're also drinking things. What are you having to drink?
I've been having this a lot. I feel like I've been having this a lot lately, but I am having strawberry lemonade.
All right.
What are you having?
Well, despite the fact that it is absolutely freezing, we were celebrating and it's Easter. And so I am having Moët Ice Champagne with a little bit of orange peel in it. And it's lovely. It is absolutely lovely, even though it's very, very cold today. And ice champagne was probably not the best choice, but it's what we had. So that's happening.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. So it's, this episode starts with Roy waking up Jamie at 4 a.m. to start the workout with like lights on their heads, like miners.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And he's basically like, you wanted to be better than Zava. Well, this is, I told you, 4 a.m. We're going to have to get started. And he's like, now get dressed or I'll start flicking your balls.
Yeah. It's like, you need to do three workouts a day instead of two. And Jamie's like, well, you said 4 a.m. But and Roy's like, it's 4 a.m. Well, but it's cute.
It's 4 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. It's 4 a.m. And then we cut to Nate, and it's, I guess, the Sunday, the beginning of the week. And he is doing this kind of logistical planning with little figures on the pitch and that kind of thing.
He's playing with his dolls.
Basically. But he knocks over his picture, his figure of Ted.
And then he's like, oh, oops, or whatever. But then he like stops for a second and then he picks it up.
And he says something like, sorry. I mean, it's kind of a bout of like conscience on his part, which is interesting.
Wow, he has a conscience. We love to see it.
Yeah.
Then we see Ted, who wakes up to Sassy getting ready to leave. And I guess I was wrong. He did have sex with her. So yeah. I thought he didn't, because I thought they would like show a little bit more of like them going back to his apartment or something. I don't know. And then he asks Sassy out on a real date and she says no, because he's a mess. And she's like, well, I'm also a mess, but I've kind of graduated after 3 years of being a mess to being a slight disarray.
Yeah. I mean, they have a discussion about like their relationship and what having fun is. And she's like, hell no, I'm not going to go out with you. They're like these fun little asides, which is just part of this show. They're talking about, oh, well, my Uber rating is, a 5 or whatever. And
of course Ted's is a 5.
Of course it is. And then they decide that they want to be friends with benefits, cool and breezy, like the Arab Spring.
Okay. And then we go over, like, we go like outside of the apartment, we see Nate driving by, and then
Sassy had one really good line in this, and it's right at the end, and she's like, fuck Rupert and his shriveled pouch nut sack.
Nice. And then we see Nate driving by, and behind him at like the park, on the park benches, Roy just watching Jamie do more like workout and like still working out, and then he starts puking.
Yeah.
Jamie does, and Roy's just like on the bench like drinking a coffee, and he just is like, oh, hi to a passerby.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just suck it up there, Jamie, it's good for you. Rebecca, we see her in her office looking at Rupert's tweet.
She's with Keely in her office.
Oh, that's right. It's Keely's office because Shandy's there. And Shandy comes in because she's going to be doing a promotion of the single guys up from the team on banter. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca's like, oh, the single guys. And she goes through the whole list and then it's like, oh, and Sam. And Shandy's like, oh, I don't think Sam's doing it. And Rebecca's thinking, is he single? Is he not single? Has he hooked up with somebody? You know, you see the little mental calculation going on.
Yeah. And then Keely's boss, Jack, apparently, according to the CFO, is coming to the match. And they're like, oh, crap. Okay, well, he'll sit with us. They're assuming it's a he. Obviously, like, they're going to turn that on its head. I called that immediately. Like, it's going to be a woman. And they're not really subtle about it. But then it's like, all right, well, they'll sit with us. And it's like, okay, cool. And then we go over to Beard and Roy. I love this scene. It's so funny.
This is very funny.
Beard and Roy go through a lot of formations on their board, but they are just doing like triple bluffs because they think that Nate expects all of their moves. And then there's this one line.
Right. They're explaining it to Higgins. So it's yes. like, oh, yeah, we can't use the false nine because Nate's going to expect this.
Yeah, because it's Nate's false nine. And then, right. and then Beard says, Nate knows that we're trying to outthink him by thinking like him. And then Roy says, well, fuck Nate, fuck thinking, and fuck fucking Socrates.
That's really funny. And so they finally like go around, so we were gonna do this and we were gonna do that, and then we're gonna outsmart him completely and do Nate's false nine.
Yeah, and then Higgins is like,
so circular.
Well, but what will Zava feel if he's being used as the decoy? And then they're like, yeah.
Fuck, no, yeah. So Ted comes in and he's like, you guys are trying to outthink Nate, and you know, I think we just need to kiss. And obviously, this is not a term that Roy Kent knows, but as I love the fact that they amend this too. It's keep it simple, smarty pants, rather than keep it simple. like stupid's the bad word now. We can't even use that. So whatever.
Ted asks if he's a mess, and they're like, yes. But then he's just like, well, Sassy slept over, and they all do childish ooh and all that stuff. And then he's like, well, I think this is a thing for the Diamond Dogs. And then they start howling. Yeah, they start howling and running around the office like Higgins and Beard are, and they're just barking. And then Roy just leaves.
Yeah, Roy's like, I'm out. Fuck this. So Beard, you know, answers the question. He's like, yeah, you're a mess because, you know, why aren't you upset about playing Nate? And Higgins... Ted gives excuses. Oh, it's, you know, that's no big deal. I'm more concerned about my personal life, more or less. And Higgins is like, why aren't you upset about playing Nate? You know, like, everyone keeps coming back to you. This is really what is going on with you on some level, is that conflict, and you're avoiding it by doing this.
Yeah, but also Beard says, I learned this from going to Codependence Anonymous with Jane.
Yes, I love that. So much.
But no, Jane's forcing him to go to Codependence Anonymous, which is even
funnier. Yes, Jane is codependent. Then Ted
tries to say that Nate didn't hurt him, but Roy yells from like his office, which is right next to it. He just yells, bullshit. Yeah. and then they're like, hey, you want to join in on the conversation, Roy? And then they start like beckoning him like a dog.
Yeah. And he's like,
how do you feel, Roy? And he's just like covering his ears and going, la 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 la.
Yeah.
It's so childish. I love it. It's really funny.
So they go to the locker room, and I didn't write down much of the transition is the pundits. Mm-hmm. Are all pulling for like Zava bringing Richmond over West Ham.
Well, no, there's one, they're talking about, oh yeah, well, Zava's going, well, one pundit is being like, well, we can't underestimate Nate Shelley or whatever. And then as soon as they say Nate's name, all the players are booing him. And then, and Trent notices because he's in the room and he's seeing all this stuff. And then they're just like, well, actually, I think that I'm going to bet on Zava because he's just amazing and we can't underestimate him either. And then Zava apparently, like, he's talking about to like the players about how they don't listen to all of that. And he's just like, okay. And he's like talking to Zorro about it.
And Zorro's like, no, this is, because he calls him Zorro. Yeah. And like, Zorro's like, my name is Zorro.
And then he's like, why? And he's like, that's just how my parents pronounced it. And then he's just like, listen, I let my children name themselves when they reached the age of 7. And that's why one of my children is named Smingus Dingus.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like, you can, you know, whatever you believe in yourself to be. And so it's just kind of okay. But Isaac goes and hits the believe sign and it falls and it's clear that it's been torn.
Yes. And, so, and then Isaac, realized, no, but after he does that, Isaac like hits karate chops Jamie in like the shoulder or whatever. And he's just like, I just wanted to check if I acquired the ability to chop things in half. Jamie's like, but what if it worked? And he's like, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't. And then, the sign was already ripped in half by Nate in last season. And then we see Nate going back to that Greek restaurant and he expects Jade to remember him. And I'm like, dude, first of all, regardless of if like you were a memorable customer, which you kind of were, but like you have so many people going into a restaurant every day, like, and she also just didn't care. So I don't see why you would expect her to remember you.
What? It's so funny because he's regressing. Like even when he goes to the restaurant, he pulls that school for the gifted and he's like, he's pulling on the wrong door or pulling on a push door or something like that. It's like,
the wonder
kid doesn't know how to open a door, right?
Well, so he doesn't get when he leaves. Honestly, that was actually really funny. I love this actor. He's really, really funny. And
he plays it so, so, so straight. And it's like, yeah.
It's so good. And you can see the little awkwardness and I'm just like, oh my god, it is so good. And it's a shame that I hate Nate right now because I really love the actor.
Right. And so but the girl doesn't recognize him, but the owner comes out.
The manager.
Nate's made an order and the manager comes out with the order and he's like, oh my god,
he gets his name wrong at first, but then like Nate corrects him and then he's just like, oh yeah, absolutely. And then he's just like, listen, you're going to get the meal free and whatever you need, just let me know. And it's like, oh, this is an honor or whatever. And he's fawning over him.
Right. But he also starts like putting the pressure on like, oh, well, you were really trash talking them. And you know, you're really doing this. And Nate starts to realize like, this is a much bigger thing that I'm involved with. And people are really counting on me. In a way that, you know, I could hide a little bit before. I wanted to be seen, but now I'm being seen. It's like, shit.
Yeah, but also like he didn't feel like he had to face since he was in his own echo chamber of whatever, he didn't feel like he had to face the consequences of trash talking his old team. And I think it's now just dawning on him that he's going to have to see said team and said like his old, like the old coach and whatever and all that stuff. So it's like, that's going to be very awkward. And I think he's now just realizing, oh shit, that's how awkward that's going to be. Because he really, on top of everything that he said to Ted at the end of last season when he left, which was horrible and it's just the worst, he also is trash talking the team. So it's just, it's not a great combination. And then, and again, he still doesn't understand the door as he leaves. And you which see like Jade kind of just watching him, but I'm just like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Jade doesn't really matter all that much.
No, she is tangential, but her reaction should have like, ugh.
Yeah. And then we go over to Shandy, who's directing the shoot for the promo, and Danny's. She has Danny so come funny. In and do his thing, and she's like, "Listen, how about you act like you're just talking to an old friend, and
your oldest friend?"
Yeah, and then this is like my dear oldest friend just turned 108, and I'm just like, what? Yeah. Okay. And then,
well, and then Danny says the best part, you know, like what's the best part of a woman? The best part of a woman is her flaws. It's like,
and everyone's just like, ooh, that's good. It's like, okay. And then, Zorro mentions that he's changing his name to Van Damme.
because Zama says I could be whoever I wanted to be.
Yeah, and then Sandy is like talking to Keely, and she's talking about, oh yeah, Jamie's really sexy, all that stuff. And Keely is thinking about it because she's like, yeah, I don't think he's seeing anyone right now. And she's just like, yeah, he really has grown. He's still a narcissist and all that stuff, but he really has been becoming a better person, and he's really grown and all that stuff. And Shandy's just like, listen, I just want to screw him, so I don't really care about all that stuff. And his growth.
Yeah, I want to throw this out there, and it is a complete tangent, but for those of you who are fans of Roy Kent, he has a podcast of his own. It's called Films to Be Buried With.
And I did listen to the episode you mentioned. Yeah,
there's an episode with him and the actor who plays Jamie, and it is hilarious. If you love this show, it is well worth listening. He's had a number of other people on. He's had a guy who plays Sam.
That was and really Nate.
And the doctor. He's had her on. There are some really fun shows on there, but this one with Jamie as a live program is hilarious. So
you can tell how close they are just as people and all that stuff. It's nice to see. I always enjoy seeing how close the actors are outside of their characters. And obviously their characters are supposed to be like rivals in more senses of the word, but even in the show, I'm glad they're getting development and stuff like that, but also just seeing that dynamic is really fun. And then, yeah. All right. So moving back to this,
Beard calls Ted in, and he's like, look, you need to see this. And he shows him the video. And apparently it is something that Trent Crim has run down of Nate tearing the belief sign.
Yeah, he found security footage, and then Trent Crim says, you can take the boy out of journalism, but you can't take journalism out of the boy. And then Roy's just like, all right, you fucking ruined it now. I found that very funny. But
Ted's very hesitant to show it to the team because he's like, I'm not sure what this would accomplish. And here's the other thing, I think Ted knew all along that Nate had done it.
There are a few things. First, to be clear, the other coaches want to use it to motivate the team and be like, all right, yeah, we're going to make them mad. We're going to have some motivating factor here. And Ted, he for sure knew that it was Nate, because first of all, it ended up on his desk. He had to mend it. And who else would it have been? I remember, I think there was a shot of him in last season, showing up back to his office and seeing the torn belief sign. And he's like, oh, well, okay. And then and the only person who could have done it is Nate. So he definitely knew. We'll see how things work out later, but yeah, it's definitely up in the air whether or not they're going to use it, but Ted doesn't want to. Beard is about to suggest, there's this one little moment where Beard's about to suggest Ted go out with Jane's sister. And when Ted says no, Beard's like, that's the right answer.
Exactly. Totally the right answer. So then we see Nate talking to Rupert, because everyone's getting really anxious about this match. And Nate's like, hey, I didn't leave Ted on the best of terms. I owe him an apology. And Rupert's like, what should I say to him? And Rupert's like, you say hello, you shake his hand, and you beat him, and then we celebrate. That's what you do. And it's such a sign of how emotionally immature Nate is, that while he is smart enough to know that this is an emotionally complex thing, he will take direction from anyone he considers to be an adult. Anybody who he is above him in the pecking order, I guess.
I think he just wanted a second opinion on if he should. I don't know. He doesn't really know how to navigate the situation. And obviously Rupert's made a lot of enemies out of people. And maybe he was just like, how do I go about making this smooth things over? Obviously Rupert's not the right person to go for that, but he wanted to ask whatever. And Nate also tries to call him Rupert, but is corrected to Mr. Mannion.
Yeah.
Which will come back later, but
so that there's pressure obviously going on there. Rupert's like, you just beat him and this is what happens. Then we cut to Rebecca telling Ted, hey, I really want you to win this one. And
well first Michelle and Ted are texting about oh yeah, good luck with the match and whatever. And then he starts thinking about Dr. Jacob, and then he looks at just all the quick texts that he sent to, like, Dr. Jacob has sent to him, and it was all about the appointments and all that stuff. And
right, there was no
relationship between a doctor and his patient. But it's an interesting, I guess. But yeah, Rebecca tells Ted that she really wants to win the game, and Ted asks again if he's a mess, and she says yes, and she says it's why they get along so well.
Right, and then he's like, well, and then she sees that he's having some anxiety, and you know, the safe word or the honesty word,
Oklahoma.
Becca knows is Oklahoma, and she's like, Oklahoma, and he's like, well, I'm a work in progress.
Progmess. He's a work in progress.
Progmess, exactly. And so Ted then tells Rebecca, hey, look, you've already won. But Rebecca,
by getting Rupert out of your life.
Right. But she's not internalized that. She's like, beat them.
Yeah.
And then they get to where the match is, and Zav is getting off bus, and he's like the coolest thing in the world, right?
Yeah. But there's also this moment as like they're all going into the stadium and all that stuff, into the locker rooms, and then we see Will having to carry all the bags, and then he drops the bags, and all the press are going, and then he picks them all up, and then they all cheer for him, and I'm like, good for Will. And then Emily is talking to Rebecca, and she's nervous about her boss. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to go to the bathroom. The only reason I mentioned that is because it's important. And then Rebecca talks to Rupert and Bex briefly about basically nothing. And it's very passive aggressive. And then,
well, it's interesting because Bex is a little bit demeaning toward Rupert. Like, you know, she's like, oh, he's, you know, just our baby, you know, drooling and pooing around the house, just like Rupert. And it's like, ooh, yeah, that's a change in dynamic, isn't it?
Keely's in the restroom, and she's like, oh crap, because she has gotten her period or whatever, and she asks for help from the person next to her, and I in parentheses put probably Jack, and then
you caught that more quickly than I did. I don't know why I was not
really... I didn't think they would show it if it wasn't going to be embarrassing later, so
I knew it was going to be somebody embarrassing later. I just couldn't figure out who that was
going to
be. So
no, I figured, but then she gets a tampon or whatever from her, and that's that. And then I don't know who says this, but I loved it so much. But I think it's Ted says it, but Ted gets into an elevator with like a lot of people who are for West Ham, and even like he briefly asks the question of like, all right, so who are you pulling for? And they're all just like West Ham. And then it's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I should have gotten that. And then he looks at the guy next to him and is like, you're tall. Is your dad a tree? I found that so funny.
Such a goofball. But the doors open, and all these West Ham people get off, and Ted's got to get out of the way, and then he's going up one more floor. And when the elevator clears out, Nate is in the corner like he's been put in timeout with his nose to the corner.
I was thinking more Blair Witch Project, but yeah, it's very funny. No, but I noticed that as soon as he got into the elevator, I was looking for the little gray hair, and I found it in the very back corner. I was like, oh God, this is going to be awkward. It was very funny. And then Nate is about to apologize for his like behavior when he left, but Rupert, when the doors open to the elevator on the next floor, Rupert interrupts him, which I hate. And then we go back over to Keely, and she meets Jack, who is a girl and who was the one who gave it the tampon.
And we know this because of the shoes.
She's like, oh yeah, I think you took something of mine. And she's just like, oh shit. Okay. Higgins tells this riddle, and only Keely gets it right about like women doctors and stuff.
Yeah, it's a gender thing. Everyone else is like, oh, that's dated.
And then the CFO is very awkward around Rebecca because apparently she seems to idolize Rebecca, and I mean, like, good for her, I guess. And Shandy's the one who points this out, which is not very important, but okay. And then we see the pub guy back at the pub. The pub guy invited a friend, but he's wearing a West Ham jersey and is like yelled at to leave. And the pub guy is the one who like doesn't initiate it, but then it's just like, no, he's my friend. And then they all look at him like he's crazy, and it's like, no, get the fuck out, go.
Right. So then we catch you. And I love this. So the pundits are talking about what might happen in the match. And one of the pundits is like, I stopped making predictions. It got to the point where I was right so often I was making things happen.
And like, then the other pundit says something and he's like, I knew you'd say that. But there's also this mention of a win for either team will give them the top spot over Manchester United. Yeah. Or Man City, sorry. Man City.
No, it's Manchester United.
No, it's Man City.
Whatever. I had it as Manchester United. I wrote it down at the time, so I'm assuming that was right. But
it's Manchester something. And yeah. The crowd is cheering for West Ham during this whole thing. I don't know. And they're doing a chant. And at the handshake, Ted is really nice, and Nate says nothing.
Right. He doesn't even shake his hand.
No, he does.
And so
the first handshake, yes, he does shake his hand. But it's very short, and Ted's like, good, have a good game, good luck, and all that stuff. And Nate just says nothing and just quickly like withdraws his hand and leaves. And then
both Beard and Roy are like pissed about it. And
it's so bizarre that they're on like the same, they're so close together, like as far as like where they're situated on the field. Like you'd think they'd be like on opposite sides or something. Or at least it's not as close, because that just seems like a weird setup. Yeah. But it causes more drama, I guess. We see a little bit of the game. Van Damme has a great save. Jamie doesn't pass to Zava, and it leads to not scoring.
Right. He misses, and Zava's like, I was open. And then Rebecca's like, why didn't you pass to Zava? I mean, just, you know, everyone's very upset because they have not, you know, been scoring.
And then West Ham scores once, and then Nate like does this weird like baseball to like the pitcher a pitcher to like catcher, like weird little hand signals, and then to switch tactics, and then West Ham scores again, so it's 2-0 at the half. And
Nate's strategy, and he is so in their heads at this point. He's like, you know, got a living room in their heads going into the halftime.
Yeah. Ted, and then they go back to the locker room, and Ted and Rebecca talk, and she's like very passive aggressive.
So there's something that I might bring it up later, but you know, the way she's trying very hard to be all positive, the way that she knows Ted likes things to be. And it's
that's not really going to work.
well, no, I mean, like she's trying to do it. She's trying very, very hard to be encouraging and yay. And I don't think she's doing it ironically. I think she's really trying. She just, it's not in her nature. And so she's trying to do that. And it delays Ted getting into the locker room. By the time Ted's in the locker room, the other coaches have shown the team the video of Nate tearing up the belief sign. And they all are
just screaming at it. And then as they're walking back onto the pitch, all of the team just glare at Nate, and Nate gets scared. Or at least nervous. And then when they start the game again, Beard is just yelling, kill!
Right, they've got basically killers. And so it turns into almost a street brawl. They're like, they're playing like Italians.
But they're getting yellow cards and red cards left and right. They're just getting penalty after penalty.
The guy with the ball.
Sorry, we were talking over each other. What were you saying?
Danny hits a guy with the ball. Yeah. And they keep getting people ejected.
Yeah, no, I was saying they're getting yellow cards and red cards left and right. They're all of the penalties are on, they're like only Richmond are basically getting penalties because they're starting all of this stuff. And by the end of the game, it's West Ham wins 4-1, and Ted goes to shake Nate's hand, but Nate ignores him. That's when he ignores him and just goes to celebrate with his team. And then
they're really funny here. They're like, oh, that, you know, the play from Richmond was like the names of Zava's three youngest kids, angry, dirty, and ugly.
Yeah. I forgot to write those down, but I remember they had more. That's funny. And then at the talk back, or like an interview or whatever, Zava is just like, yeah, they were playing with passion. Passion is also associated with love. It is also associated with crime and also a fruit.
Yeah.
And I'm just, whatever, it's supposed to be deep. And then Rebecca notices Rupert fooling around with his assistant. Surprise. And then Beard and Roy are like, Ted goes,
hey, we fucked up. Yeah, that, I mean, they tell Ted.
They want to be yelled at. They want to dress him down from Nanny, and they really want to. And right. But Ted's just like, I'm not going to do that. We all make mistakes. Just learn from them. And he's like, I just want that thumb drive. And he's like, okay, cool. And then it is pointed out to Nate, like when he's doing an interview, it's pointed out to Nate that he didn't shake Ted's hand after the game. And Nate's like, oh, wait, I didn't? Oh, I didn't think I, oh. And then just leaves to go like talk to Ted.
Right. So, and I want to note one other thing, like right at the end, and Roy says something, and I'm not sure who he's referring to. Like when they're talking to Ted about, hey, you know, you need to dress us down, you know, and Ted's response is, you know, you tried something and it didn't work, big whoop. Roy's like, fucking asshat. And I don't know if he's talking about Nate. I don't know.
No, exactly. He's talking about Ted because he really wants like to be reprimanded for what he's done. I feel like they just feel like they deserve to be punished for it, but they are, in a way, they already are by losing and by all of this stuff kind of tearing the team apart a little bit. So I think, honestly, I think Ted just is like, this is basically all the punishment you need, like you just need to work it back up. But yeah, I think he's referring to Ted at that moment. And then Beard's like, yeah, what an asshole. I wanted to be yelled at because I wanted to feel bad.
Yeah.
Again, already feel bad. So, I mean, whatever.
Right. So Rupert has his minion give Nate a club pass to the Honey and Bones Club, the one where like Beard had his big night out.
I didn't think about that.
The place. And Rebecca tells, you know, they're all like leaving basically at the same time.
Before that, Nate's going to go talk to Ted, and he sees Ted at the end of like next to the bus or whatever. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go talk to him. It's going to be that big moment. And then the assistant comes in and like, oh yeah, here's your VIP pass. And then he looks back at where Ted was and he's already gone. So.
So he doesn't
talk to Ted because he doesn't own a phone. Anyway. Yeah. Go ahead.
But yeah, Rebecca tells Rupert and she's like, you need to stop fucking around. Your wife and your daughter deserve better. Mm-hmm. And you know, it obviously is not registering with him, but whatever. So,
well, and the next time she catches him doing that, she's going to tell Bex. And then right. Shandy apparently changed the bio line for Banter to, do you want to bang celebrities? And Keely's like that, like she talks about this in front of Jack, and apparently they're getting like all of this like coverage about it because it's so stupid and because it's a bad thing. But she has the mindset of, oh, all press is good press. And yeah. But like Keely like takes her to the side a little bit, but obviously Jack can still hear. And Keely's like, listen, you need to change it back because that is not what this app is supposed to be about. And I think Jack sees that she cares about the actual message that the brand are trying to send.
And right, there's integrity there.
Yeah, she understands brand integrity. And I think that Jack will appreciate that in the future.
But Keely is so nervous. She is so nervous about everything she does in front of Jack. But you know, she's not really sure how Jack has taken her, you know, dressing down of Shandy either. It's just really not clear how that's coming across. But Jack's like, well, I'll see you later, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Rupert, who has set Nate up there at the club.
And well, he's letting Nate call him Rupert instead of Mr. Mannion.
Right. And so he sets him up with this woman, this model, Anastasia, who I guess is somebody famous. And Nate's kind of like, oh, this is cool. And it's really pathetic.
Well, no, it's a little bit of a callback to season one. There are a lot of callbacks in this episode because when he drinks the martini, it's like when in the For the Children episode at the like event, the gala, drinks the martini and then he spits it out.
Yeah.
Still doesn't like martinis. So that's a little cute little callback. Then Jamie, you see the next morning at 4 a.m., Roy knocks on Jamie's, well, he's about to knock on Jamie's door, but Jamie's already ready to go. And he's like, I'm ready to train, because now he's being rejuvenated because he failed that, like,
he
passed his ABBA, which was a mistake. He felt like he could do it on his own. He can't. He wants to train more to be more on par. And so he's eager to train. And then Ted calls Michelle.
And right before he looks at that Lego pitch that his son had made, that Henry had made, and he keeps kind of like focusing on the Nate figurine on it. But it's because there's just unresolved tension there. Unresolved tension with his ex-wife. And so
it's pretty similar kind of tension, I guess. It's just the unspoken stuff that like is for the most part, but especially with Michelle and Ted, it's more of an unspoken thing, but with Nate and Ted, it's more unspoken I'm not going to try to get into that because I'm going to fail at explaining it. But Ted calls Michelle and he tells her that her relationship with Jacob upsets him, and that it mostly upsets him because they didn't talk about it before it started so that he would at least be prepared that she was moving on, or at least trying to, and especially with this person that he thought he could trust and all that stuff. And he tells her that he loves her and Henry and their family no matter what it looks like. So it's okay that they are together, but it does bother him that she didn't mention it.
Well, and her whole response is, okay, and good night. It's like,
yeah, she doesn't say anything.
It? What the fuck is that? I mean,
that kind of pisses me off that she doesn't say anything like of substance, even that like a grunt or something. I don't know, just respond. And it's so bizarre. And you see that she's like crying or whatever. And I don't know, but
she's affected at least, but yeah, it's aggravating. And the segue,
she doesn't deserve Ted, so it doesn't even matter.
No, but the song going out is Bob Dylan's Don't Think Twice, It's All Right. I don't know. So that's the end of the episode. What were your best parts?
I had a couple. The Diamond Dogs are really funny. I loved their like change in how they start the meeting. They're just running around barking and then Roy just leaving. That was really funny. Roy and Jamie, I want to see more of that dynamic of them training and all that stuff. I want to see a little bit more. Rebecca standing up to Rupert about like, you need to stop screwing around with your assistant because you have a daughter now and a wife. So you have more to lose right now. So don't fuck that up. And Ted making things clear to Michelle about like how he feels. I think that it was important for him to do because I think Beard mentioned something earlier about like, if you bottle everything up again from Codependence Anonymous, if you bottle everything up, it's just going to make you more angry and more resentful and just, it's going to explode. And he's finally like learning from that. And it's like, okay, well, I need to make things clear that I'm okay with you guys being together. That's whatever. I just wish you told me. Which is fair. And it's way more fair than like a lot of different people's responses to that kind of thing. But
right. I mean, he has processed it as far as he can on his own to a point where he can say it in a way that he is not going to just start a fight.
Yeah. But also another best part are the callbacks. I was proud of myself for noticing some of them, but I'm like, some of them are more obvious than others. Like he goes back to the same Greek restaurant. Like, obviously that's whatever, but like the spitting out of the martini, like they finally talked about, they finally talked about like the whole splitting of the poster and that kind of stuff. And like how it affects, like, it's interesting that it affected the team the way it did, because like,
I think that was a big overreaction, honestly. I'm kind of surprised, but I'm sure that that is a plot device, so whatever.
Yeah, it definitely was, but I think that them seeing, like, they knew that Nate, like, left or whatever, but they didn't know to what extent he was trying to, like, beat them down, I guess, or, like, trying to leave carnage as he left. I don't know. I agree it was kind of an overreaction, but especially considering, like, they basically just hit other players on that team that, like, obviously it wasn't like directed exactly at Nate, it was just at the team, other team, which they didn't do anything. So yeah. I don't know, obviously like the solution shouldn't have been playing dirty. I think glaring at the other, like glaring at Nate or whatever, that's fine, but don't take it out on the team that he's coaching now. That's not their fault.
Yeah. So my best Obviously, and I didn't write down Roy Kent always. But you know, the very first thing I wrote down was Ted calling, because you know, I despise unresolved tension. It makes me a little crazy. Yeah. So I'm really glad that he did that. Much, and one of my other ones was, you know, Rebecca telling Rupert to, you know, stop cheating on his wife. Mm-hmm. And you know, that confronting those sources of tension, I think, is really important, and moving on. But what is interesting to me is what is left, and I think this is part of the structure of the show. What is left unresolved is how to motivate the team, right? Mm-hmm. And we see this tension between the Ted all positive all the time method, which, you know, Rebecca is trying that with Ted.
I also think she was being more.
No, I don't think so.
I think she's being a little bit more ironic about it.
I don't think so. I think she was really trying. I think
it was a bit too aggressive for it to be like not ironic for me personally.
Okay, if I could finish my thought. I think she was really trying it, because it's much like, you know, giving someone a pet talk. It's like when she was getting Zava on the team, like, you should go sweet talk him. Well, that's not who she is. The sour yelling, that's Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Ted positive method, it wasn't getting the team to do exactly what it needed to do in the first half of the game, but the super negative method doesn't either. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like there has to be a gray area between the two, and they've got to find that balance. And I think that that's going to be what the focus of the other episodes in this season will be. It's like, how do we get from these extremes to find the middle, mm-hmm. and find what works? So I found that setup kind of interesting, that, you know, we still have a major unresolved tension issue, which is between Ted and Nate. Right. And how are we going to get there? But yeah, that segues into my worst part. So what were your worst parts?
Rupert in general, I hate him. It for many reasons. First of all, like, trying to prevent Nate from apologizing, what is that going to get you? Like, obviously, like, he's still going to want to win. Maybe he'll feel worse, but like feel worse for the other team, but he'll still win. Like, I don't know. Maybe he's concerned about that. I'm not sure. And also cheating on his wife again with like his assistant or whatever. I'm pretty sure it was like the minion that gave
the minion
VIP pass or something. And then Nate not apologizing. Again, unresolved tension. I don't like it. Again, you own a phone, Nate. You can talk to him. Obviously, maybe this is more of an in-person, face-to-face kind of conversation, but you can always like set up plans to talk to him and not be interrupted. There are many options, Nate, and you clearly feel some remorse for what you have done, which is progress, but you need to actually like go and apologize to him and stop getting, I don't know, pussyfooting around. Like, you need to just man up and do it. Like, just say you're sorry, then you'll feel better, I guess. Like, you can move on with your life after you like truly apologize to somebody about that. Obviously, like, it's not going to be completely resolved, but it's at least progress to some kind of just equilibrium. I don't know. Just apologize. You can do it over text. It will be less effective, sure, but you can at least tell him that you're sorry about how things ended and that you didn't shake his hand. And again, I'm glad that he's starting to have some remorse about it, because we haven't really seen that from him, but whatever. And also Richmond losing, I think it's good that they didn't. Okay. I'm of two minds about it. I think that it's good that they didn't win out of anger, and with that as their only fuel, like just revenge and all that stuff. I think that's a good message to send. And obviously, like, just all positivity of like, oh, it's going to be fine kind of thing obviously didn't work either. But I think that, and it's going to be interesting seeing how they change tactics, but I don't know. I hate that, like, it wasn't even close. I think that if it was a tie, and I think what I wanted was for Nate to get knocked down a peg as well, because I think that if I just want to see him fail slightly at least, and see more of you kind of saw a little bit of it with Rupert, like making him call him Mr. Mannion and all that stuff, but until he wins, he's not going to get like the personal like you get to call me by my name kind of thing. So I think you got a glimpse at it, but I think that I wanted to see a little bit more of like, okay, well, if they got a tie, what would have happened with Rupert? And also what would have happened with like the standings of like, just in general of like the league and all that stuff. But I don't know. Well, we'll have to build ourselves back up, I guess. So, and then when they meet again, God knows what's going to happen because it's Ted Lasso. You can just do whatever you want. It's like Game of Thrones, but instead of killing people, it's who's going to win the match. Kind of ish. What about you?
My worst part, and it really is, I think, you know, the setup for the rest of the season is Nate getting sucked into Rupert's world. And, you know, I think that until Nate matures enough to be independent of that, we're not going to have the season resolved. So I feel like that, or the tension resolved between him and Ted. So I feel, while it is a worst part because I despise Rupert and everything he represents in every imaginable way, mm-hmm. I feel like that is going to be the setup. And I agree with you. I don't know that it needed to be, right. But I, you know, that's where we're going. I feel like, I don't know. It is an interesting choice, and we're going to have to see how they resolve this. I mean, maybe they just need to stretch things out for more episodes, so it's going to take longer. Maybe that's what it is. So that was really it. What was your grade?
Well, before that, I realized another worst part for me is Shandy. I don't like her. And also the fact that she, again, without permission, changed the byline of a major brand they're working with to something so ridiculous without consulting anybody, without doing whatever. Like, that was so messed up. That was so stupid. And
I didn't say Shandy, but the Shandy Jack dynamic left me with this feeling that, oh my God, Shandy Jack might like hire Shandy and like get rid of Keely or something, or there's going to be tension with that. And I'm like, oh, vomit, please.
I don't think I'm going to do that, but we'll get into that with predictions, but I wanted to add that Shandy is the worst part. She will probably be for the rest of the season unless she goes away. So my overall grade was a B. I liked a lot of stuff in this episode. It was good, I think, but I think that there were a few things that it's setting up, like you said, it's kind of setting up stuff that I don't like to see. But that obviously that's just like the character arc that is going to be Nate, and it hurts to see in a way. I don't like it. But yeah, it was fine. I didn't like it as much as the other two or three episodes that we've watched, but because I also think that some of the humor wasn't quite there. I don't know. It was fine.
Well, I actually gave it an A-B+. It's probably more of a plus for me. And the reason that I did that is, again, it's moving the plot forward, which I'm kind of like, I've been, hello, you know, can we please be moving on here? And I think that, you know, that's always kind of where I am with this. Like, you're actually seeing some progress in the characters rather than spinning their wheels, which I do like. I feel like it is setting things up in a way that's going to take longer and be messier than I really want it to be. Like, you know, that whole Keely, you know, feeling a little bit jealous that Shandy's interested in Jamie. You know, that kind of thing. I just don't like the whole Keely Shandy thing being a significant plot line. I don't like, you know, I don't like the, you know, Nate, I think is going to have like some ridiculous relationship with this famous model girl or whatever she is. And it'll be like vomit. And until those things either fall apart or get resolved, we're going to be spending way too much time, in my opinion, on that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I that's just what I see happening, but I guess you've got to have something to do because Ted's in this kind of like stasis right now. You know, he's resolved one of his issues and he's got to work on the team, but you've got to have, I guess, all these subplots. And I'm like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're going to have what's his name? The guy whose boyfriend was cheating on him.
Oh, Colin. They mentioned that Colin is single now because he did the promo. So that seems to have resolved itself in a way. Okay. I guess, but off screen. And so why did they put so much emphasis on it? But okay. And they didn't even put that much emphasis on it before. So that's kind of weird. Going forward, obviously, like Nate's going to probably fall into this like whatever thing with Rupert, even further into the echo chamber because I don't know. It's stupid.
Because he's emotionally immature and it's going to take him longer to work his way out of it.
And to be fair, honestly, like if it was resolved with Ted so early in the season, it wouldn't be as like fulfilling, I guess, later on, because then there's no real rivalry between the teams other than Rupert and Rebecca, which whatever. I don't care about Rupert banging another person. It's awful, but I don't care. And I'm glad that Rebecca's like, listen, I'm going to put my foot down. If you do this again, I will tell your wife. And maybe his wife already knows and it doesn't matter, but whatever, she'll still tell her. And yeah, Shandy, I hope Shandy and Jamie just like try it, but then Jamie's like, you suck. And then he just ends up single. I don't know. I'm proud that he is grown and I like that Keely notices, but I don't want it to lead it to anything. And I don't feel like it will, because if it does, I'm going to scream. But I think that Shandy and Jamie could try something and then Jamie will realize that he doesn't want to just have sex with someone. He wants a meaningful connection and maybe try something else. I don't know.
CFO girl.
Oh, CFO. Maybe.
That's
possible.
She's definitely got a thing for like the football club now. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. So we'll see how that goes. I'm kind of confused on why they did this whole framing device with Trent. Well, not even a framing device, but this little plot line that's kind of going nowhere with like Trent Krim writing the book. I'm just kind of like, well, is this going to lead to anything? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess
I like Trent Krim. He's just kind of there. He contributes to some conversations, but it's not really like he's putting anything meaningful behind it. And he doesn't really seem to care all that much.
Like, it's like Rebecca's mom. It's like, you know, going to see the psychic. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of random tangents. And I don't know why we're investing as much time in some of those as we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll see how things go. I think eventually Rebecca and Sam will at least interact in a meaningful way and figure out where they stand with each other. They probably will get back together. And honestly, I'm okay with that. I've softened to that. And that's a weird way to put it. But I'm more looking back at it, like they can do whatever they want. They're adults, they can do whatever they want. But I think it was just the timing of when we rewatched it that was just like there was news stuff about like weird relationships in the workplace kind of stuff. And I was just, that was on the top of my mind, but if I'm being honest, it doesn't really matter in this case. So they can do whatever. So I hope they resolve stuff and they probably will, considering the whole psychic thing. It will be in the rain. It'll be dramatic. And then Rebecca will be like, what the hell? And, but the whole thing about like her, like that one last prediction that we didn't mention it in the last episode, but there's this prediction about like, you're going to have a family or whatever. And I hope that or I don't know if she mentioned like a mother being a mother or something. I think it was just family. I hope she figures out the family is just the team and it's not like her just getting pregnant. Cause I feel like it would be more meaningful for it to be the team. But
also, you know, there is this, you know, this inkling of, you know, she's acknowledging that Bex has a daughter with Rupert and mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So I don't know. I don't know what, maybe she's feeling like her biological clock is ticking. We don't know. We might waste an episode or so on that. And I say waste, I love these actors. So it's kind of like, okay, yeah, you
know, it's just kind of annoying because I want to see more of like certain dynamics and them were shown other stuff. And because again, I want, obviously I love Roy and Keeley. So I want to see them interact more because there was like this awkwardness last episode. And I'm just kind of like, okay, well, are you going to talk? Like, are we going to get to see? Because we haven't seen them have a one-to-one discussion alone at all. Like, we haven't seen it once. So, because the first one was in front of Phoebe. The other one was, we couldn't hear what they were saying. And Isaac and Jamie were watching. And it was just returning stuff. And then the other one was in front of, like, the like a couple of the players and Shandy. And Shandy was just butting in the entire time. So, I don't know. We'll see. I want them to have at least a conversation of some kind. But how I mentioned like being stuck in an elevator or whatever to talk about their feelings. I didn't mean Nate and Ted, but it could work. But I mean, obviously
the that's whole Glee thing. You just never know. Anyway,
well, either way, I think they just need to talk. There are certain characters that just need to talk to each other. But I mean, yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to definitely keep watching and we are looking forward to stuff with this season. And, you know, I am enjoying it. I do love the characters. And I think that this
it's not bad TV. We're just, no. I just want to see more of these characters. And right. That's not a bad, okay. I say it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's certainly not like the best, obviously I have preferences and stuff, but it's not the worst thing that could happen. I want to see more of it. So,
yeah. Well, I am looking forward to seeing the next episode, which I didn't even write down the name of, which
I didn't either. I meant to, and I didn't.
I meant to, and I didn't. But I am looking forward to our next episode. Please tune in to Ted Lasso and tune in to Buzz Binging. And we hope that you join us and
cheers.